K1 and our Community Connection brought to you by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, Family Crisis and Counseling Center, and Melissa Ruprecht in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And on a Friday morning, I get to talk, domestic violence issues with Melissa Ruprecht. And thanks for coming in this morning. Been a busy week, and I think we're all still somewhat, more than others, suffering a little bit sleep deprivation. It was only an hour, but sometimes it takes an hour to catch up that hour. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sure does.
A lot of things going on, and I know the springtime is something, a time of year you get to talk with people about domestic violence issues. You probably do it all the time, but I kind of look at March and April as kind of those months that at least I see some of the reports hike up a little bit. So good time of year to be talking about it.
Yeah, it's going to be after tax season here shortly. Yep. So from what I've seen, that it tends to increase after people get their...
And we say as people get their taxes done, so
yeah,
starting about, you know, say March 15th, which was yesterday, and on to about the 30th of April or so, to me that 6 weeks period, I see more police reports. And that, again,
yeah,
it's an underreported crime, so kind of take what I see on paper and mentally multiply it by some number and say, you know, okay, now I got the whole picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Domestic violence, we typically think of it in a household marriage situation or in a dating relationship, but it can even spread out further than those two relationships, can't it?
Yeah, it has effects on the family dynamic as well as the community.
Yeah, and that means that at some point in time we're all affected, whether it's a friend, a coworker, we hear a story, we see something on Facebook, and it does affect us at least a little bit, just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
But it certainly affects those that are the two in the situation, the striker and the person who got struck.
Yeah, there's lots of impacts. There's the physical impact, the emotional impact, and there's the impact on the children, impact on the family dynamic, and then there's, of course, long-term impacts that even after the abuse is done, you've left, you're starting to heal, there's going to be physical long-term impacts.
And so it doesn't even have to be a violent striking situation. I think when mom and dad get into a loud argument, the kids know what's going on.
Yeah, they don't even have to be in the room.
Yeah.
Kids are way smarter than we give them credit for, and they can sense when something's wrong. They can hear, you know, of course you can hear through walls, and, you know, they don't have to see something to know that someone's being hit.
Yeah. And again, it's not good for them, but families, people get our, normal argument, just discussions get loud, that gets to an argument, and we continue the argument from yesterday and last week and last month. Oh, and by the way, I just remembered three things you did last year.
So. Yeah. Some of the long-term effects, are like the PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
I know we usually only associate that with like war veterans, but, studies revealed that domestic violence victims get it as well.
Yeah.
And of course, that can be really long term and something they may never get over. The flashbacks, nightmares,
mm-hmm.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
To where they can't, go out and get a job or, function and do normal day to day activities like you and I would be able to.
Sure. Well, and memory is a funny thing. Sometimes an image, a thought, a smell will trigger something that happened to us, years and years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to be aware that, this person may be having an anxiety attack because you're wearing the same cologne her attacker wore, or there was some kind of a noise or something that triggered it. Could be the anniversary date.
A big one.
Yeah.
And then so that's, you know, something that, that not only affects it at the time, but again, you know, like you said, the anniversary or or just something else triggers it. But when at the point of impact, when the bruise shows, that's when it really hurts.
Yeah. Well, and even, you know, that's just temporary. The physical effects are just temporary. It's the emotional effects that make it more traumatic long term. Mm-hmm. There are some physical effects that could be long term, depending on what kind of damage is done.
Yeah.
But, you know, the most normal stuff like the bruises, the red marks, changes in sleeping and eating patterns because of the abuse, those can be more short term.
Yeah.
But when you get to where, like, he strangled you and, you know, it could change your voice and how you could talk for months at a time, or you may never get it back.
Yeah. Well, even if you're wearing a cast for a couple of weeks, it's kind of, well, a pretty public sign of something happened. Everybody wants to know, what'd you do?
Yeah. And then, of course, you got to come up with a lie to tell them because you don't want them to know your business. So, but even still, like, breaking a bone, that could impact you depending on how it broke. You may have to have hardware put in. Mm-hmm. So you may have the long-term effects of that, you know, even afterwards.
And so it's a problem for long-term. And as a professional, you get to deal with all that.
Yeah.
go ahead.
I was just going to say that some of the other side effects, there's emotional side effects, which tend to last a lot more long-term than the physical, like depression, anxiety, low self-esteem is a huge one. In order to help get that control, they beat you down to where you don't feel like you can leave. You don't feel like you're ever going to be good enough for somebody else. And then there's the suicidal thoughts. Well, if I'm not good enough, maybe I should just, you know, die, or, you know, no one wants me around anyway. And so you may think about it, or you may actually attempt it.
Well, and for a youngster who grows up with that constant comment from mom or dad, you worthless whatever, or you don't have the brains of a, or however you want to go into it, you hear that periodically every time, you know, you do something wrong, or a report card isn't what mom and dad want, or whatever. And if you start hearing it at first grade and you're still hearing it at high school, you know, now that's a lifelong thing that happens every time you think of mom or dad. That voice in your mind continues.
And studies have shown that child abuse is connected to domestic violence. But it's about 50%, 56% of men who abuse their wives or baby's mom will abuse the children as well. So that's a pretty huge number, knowing that we're having domestic violence in the home, but not only do we need to look for domestic violence, but we need to look to see if there's child abuse as well. It doesn't have to be physical. It could be emotional. And you're still going to get the same effects.
Yeah. And and that emotional trauma to a youngster, or maybe or teen or even young adult, they carry that scar emotionally for a long time.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of the other emotional effects is hopelessness. You know, they feel like there's no hope in the future, no hope for themselves. Even, you know, as a child, them seeing the domestic violence can cause all these same things. Because they don't know what's going on. They don't understand. They think this is normal, which then goes into effect kind of the community, because our children are going to grow up and then treat their girlfriends this way or their boyfriends this way. They're going to think that this is a normal relationship, and so I'm going to spread out into the community and spread it more.
And the problem is just like that rock you throw into a lake, the circle just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Exactly. So we need to reach our children and make sure that they're getting services as well for seeing domestic abuse, because we can't prevent something if we don't educate our kids that, hey, what you saw with dad or stepdad or mom's boyfriend is not okay behavior to have.
Yeah.
And if we teach them the correct behavior, then hopefully it will ripple into the community as, oh, that's not acceptable.
Yeah, it's a matter of what kind of rock we throw in the lake, so to speak, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is something that is not a new societal problem, but something we're becoming more and more aware of, and and organizations like Family Crisis and Counseling and the courts get to deal with it all the time.
Yes.
We're going to take a break, and we will continue our time with Melissa Ruprecht and see how you can get involved or maybe be part of the solution when we continue in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and again, our guest, Melissa Ruprecht from Family Crisis and Counseling Center. Melissa, we've covered quite a few topics already, but I know that as we look at what's going on, there's a lot more that we haven't talked about yet. What else is up?
Yes, expanding more on the children who've witnessed domestic abuse, some of their long-term effects or the effects that could negatively impact them as well as the community in the future would be, you know, their academic problems. A kid who has witnessed domestic abuse, more times than not, will start having failing grades. And depending on the age of the kid, you know, they may drop out of school. So we've got to reach the kids and let them know that, hey, we're here for you. We're going to find a way to find a solution for this.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I have noted sometimes, and of course, it's like whether you're in a domestic abuse situation or just a kid that doesn't have good grades, sometimes it's the extracurriculars that will keep them in school. That band, that cheer, that pom, that football team, that at least for that season, they've got to keep their eligibility up. So that can help along the way.
Yeah, that can. We just got to make sure that the abuser doesn't prevent them from doing that. Because sometimes they want to just have that control over the whole thing. And, well, if you're out here doing this, then you're going to go and tell somebody or someone's going to figure it out. So sometimes they use that control and not allow them to join sports and band and do all this academics or all this stuff outside of the school extracurriculars.
Yeah, there's a trade-off there. Yeah.
Yeah. Other effects on children is anger, hostility, disobedience, withdrawal. Of course, then there's the mental health issues, the behavioral issues.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all that affects the community. We can undermine the kids' emotional intelligence. They may have more difficulty with reading signals or signs of others' negative emotions accurately.
Yeah.
So in social situations, they're not going to be able to tell that this guy over here is just joking with them. They're going to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to trigger anger outbursts or people don't like me, all these negative feelings, because they're not taught how to read people appropriately.
Sure. And that's something that even those of us who don't run through into that situation, I think as particularly early teens, sometimes we learn it more through making a mistake or misreading somebody, and then hopefully a friend comes along and corrects the situation. But sometimes that friend might be a family member who didn't do it because of that domestic violence situation. So it's a problem.
Yeah. Domestic violence impacts the family as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts your bond with mom, impacts your bond with dad, it could impact your bond with your siblings, with aunts, uncles, cousins. When people witness domestic violence toward their primary caregiver, which typically is mom, the person who is supposed to protect them, mom's supposed to be able to protect me, she's not doing that right now because of the abuser, it then can compromise their attachment to that person.
Sure.
So they may feel a little more detached, like I'm not really connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, if you've got more negative images of mom than positive images of mom, then, you know, you're either going to try to associate with the abuser or not associate at all.
Exactly. It also undermines the trust that mom doesn't know how to take care of me. If she did, she wouldn't let dad do this.
Mm-hmm.
or, you know, hey, I've seen other people do this. Well, why isn't my parents doing this kind of thing?
Yeah.
Kids also learn the blame the victim. You know, for example, it's your mommy's fault that this happened.
Sure.
Yeah. So that they will learn to, well, if this happened, it's mom's fault. If this happens, it's your fault. Blame the victim.
Mm-hmm.
But also, kids don't also understand always the difference between victim and non-victim.
No.
Especially when the lines are blurred like that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always get that, well, mom really is a victim. So, but dad says it's your fault, so I'm going to go ahead and blame you because everything's your fault.
You hear dad blame mom and then reinforce it by telling the youngster mm-hmm. that it's mom's fault. Well, it must be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and kids are so susceptible to influence.
Sure.
Like, all you have to do is tell them, hey, the sky is green, and a little kid will believe you because they don't know no different.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got to be careful with what we say and how we teach our kids.
Friends, family, church friends, school friends can be a guide along the path and can be a good mm-hmm. friend.
They can.
And I think that's part of what you're trying to get across here, not only this morning, but also in the community. You're out talking with community groups. You're mm-hmm. involved in school life, in the life of folks in the community in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. We need to get our kids involved in the community because the only way we can break the cycle of domestic abuse is if we get the community involved mm-hmm. and educate more people, educate the kids, reach out to those who are not being reached.
And that kind of, I mean, I know your organization is there, Men Choosing to Change, Women Choosing to Change programs to affect the abuser, but also you're there to help the abusee, the victim, and friends and support network of the victim mm-hmm. to strengthen that support network so they're stronger along the way, too.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to get involved, just ask more questions, do you go out into groups, small groups, school groups, community groups to talk?
They can contact our agency.
Okay.
And see if we have someone available that can come in and talk to their group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who's at this point designated to do that, but the supervisor will definitely...
The resources are there,
yep.
Whether it's in your group or some other local
yeah.
nonprofit or even yeah. a state agency to come in and talk about that. Because I think it's something that once people are aware of a problem, many people would say, well, I'd help if I could. And sometimes we don't know what to do.
Well, and sometimes you just need to ask, what do you need help with?
Mm-hmm.
There's always, you could donate your time. We need volunteers all the time. At our agency. So if you have time, hey, I'm free, I could go and do this, sign up,
mm-hmm.
call. You gotta just do some training and then we can get you going. Donate, if you can't donate time, but hey, I have some money I can donate, donate your money. It can go toward our shelter, it could go toward our programs, whatever you want to designate it to. You could donate, you know, resources for the shelter,
mm-hmm.
Food, clothing. If you're unsure of what specifics are needed, call and ask.
And I think that's an important point mm-hmm. too. And again, you do have a shelter for the victim, for other family members who might need to flee a situation along with the victim. And mm-hmm. and that resource is as easy as a phone call away.
Yes.
What's the phone number?
918-336-1188.
And that's manned 24/7?
Yes.
And so you're calling just to volunteer, or whether you're calling to say, hey, when can I get out of here? How can you help me? It's the same phone number.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Melissa, thanks so much for coming in this morning. So a lot of great information for the event, or for Family Crisis Counseling Center. Again, if you know somebody or if you're in a situation, call. They can give you some assistance over the phone. And if necessary, follow up with that, with whatever it is you're looking for. Family Crisis and Counseling Center, 336-1188.
Yes.
That's a Community Connection this morning, brought to you by Tallgrass Motors and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. News on the way next on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1. It's 5 before 9.
ONN News, I'm Sean Carey. The 60 in